following program is brought to you by your friends at TheForce.net.
Oh, Maxi bit the Force.
And RebelScum.com.
You Rebel Scum.
The galaxy is listening.
The Forcecast presents What's New in the EU? EU. A closer look into the Star Wars expanded universe.
Greetings, Forcecast fans, and welcome to another edition of the EU Microcast. I am your host, Pete, and this is a continuation of what is a big week in the EU. We started the week with our interview with Jan Deresma and John Ostrander, the creative minds behind the Legacy comic book series. Obviously, we're continuing with this, and it's kind of a bittersweet show because it is the seventh and final edition of Jay Shepard's Intro to the EU. But don't fear, I know that Jay will have something for us coming up in the near future, and I'm sure he's got several ideas in his head already of what that's going to be. So we'll continue with that, or wrap things up with that, rather. I'll also have an EU character profile of the Dark Woman, and continue the series of reviews on the games in the Best of PC series with Republic Commandos. And of course, make sure that you're tuning in every Friday to our regular broadcast, The Forcecast. We will have additional EU news on Friday regarding the future of Star Wars, so make sure you check that out. But right now, we're going to hop right into it with The Dark Woman. Anya Kuro was a human Jedi who joined the Order prior to the Clone Wars, and at one point abandoned her name as a sign of selflessness, becoming known as the Dark Woman.
Attachment leads to jealousy. The shadow of greed, that is.
After becoming a Jedi Knight, she began traveling the galaxy looking for Force-sensitive beings that the Republic screening process may have missed. One of her early finds was Ki-Adi Mundi, who she found on Carrera and took back to Coruscant, convincing the Council to train him as a Jedi. He went on to become a revered member of the Jedi Council.
The Force is strong in this one.
Kuro's advantage to the Jedi was that she utilized unconventionally harsh training methods, which were nonetheless effective. Council often assigned difficult trainees to her. These methods often produced strong Jedi, but with a hint of darkness. However, the harsh training conditions she imposed on her students sometimes led to failure. In 53 BBY, Kuro discovered a Force-sensitive baby in the slums of Nar Shaddaa. Kuro brought the child to Coruscant to receive training, where she took the name Aura Sing. Sing showed aggressive tendencies that led the Council to assign her back to Kuro as a special case. Their collective efforts were in vain, however, and by age 9, Sing had still not attained the level of Padawan. While on assignment on Ord Namert, Sing was kidnapped by space pirates who convinced her that she was sold off by her master. Sing, who had never been close to Kuro, believed them and began a lifelong grudge against the Jedi. Demoralized by the loss of Sing, Kuro retreated to Kofagrin 5 to meditate on her role as a Jedi, her training techniques, and the future.
Always in motion is the future.
After 12 years of solitude, Kuro returned to Coruscant just as Ki-Adi was preparing for a mission to Tatooine. Before his departure, Kuro warned her former Padawan to take considerable care on Tatooine, as she had seen a great darkness approaching in her dreams. Shortly after, the assassination of two Jedi verified the rumors of Sing's return as a Jedi-hunting assassin and bounty hunter. Kuro requested that the Jedi Council place her in charge of the hunt for her former Padawan, but she was denied on the grounds of her connection to Sing. Instead, Ki-Adi, Ashrad Het, and Adia Gallia were dispatched to track Sing and bring her to justice. Kuro returned to Kofagrin 5, unaware that Sing had been hired to assassinate her. The Jedi Task Force converged on Kuro's retreat just as Sing prepared to strike. Het engaged Sing in a battle and subdued the bounty hunter, but was forced to tap into his anger to ensure victory. Discouraged by the darkness he had seen in himself,
gives you focus, makes you stronger.
Het wished to give up his Jedi training until Kuro offered to train him to control his anger. As the Jedi prepared to depart with Sing in tow, a meteor shower struck their landing site, forcing a hasty departure, allowing the assassin to escape. Kuro accompanied Mace Windu to Geonosis, where she aided in the starfighter battle above the planet. During the Clone Wars, Kuro chose to aid the Republic as a spy rather than a general. Together with Tolm and Aayla Secura, Kuro infiltrated Davron to verify rumors of a Separatist base. During their mission, Kuro was observed by Sing, who was on the planet to assassinate the Devorian Senator. Sing sprung a trap that pinned Tolm and Kuro under Cavern of Rocks, but the young Sakura was able to subdue Sing. The injured Jedi Masters recovered and returned to Coruscant. Kuro's participation during the remainder of the Clone Wars is unknown. With the onset of the Great Jedi Purge and the establishment of the Galactic Empire, Kuro sought safety on Coffagrin 5. When her hiding place was discovered by Mara Jade, Darth Vader arrived to personally kill the Maverick Jedi Master. Kuro told Vader that she had already accepted her fate, but nonetheless put up a fight. Eventually, Vader brought down a huge tree on top of Kuro, trapping her, and with a slash of his lightsaber, ended her life.
Then you will meet your destiny.
You can follow the adventures of the Dark Woman in Star Wars Republic Vow of Justice, Star Wars Republic Outlander, Star Wars Republic Emissaries to Malastare, Star Wars Republic The Hunt for Aura Sing, Star Wars Jedi Starfighter, Jedi Aayla Sakura, and Darth Vader Extinction. The customary Hasbro side note on this is that the Dark Woman will actually be featured in the EU comic pack with Ashrid Het. I previously thought that it was actually going to be Anakin Skywalker, but it will be the Dark Woman. So you can look forward to that later on this year. Now we'll go forward and hit, again, sadly enough, Episode 7, the final chapter of Jay Shepard's intro to the EU. Take it away, Jay.
Welcome to the last segment in our introduction to the Expanded Universe. Today's era is the most recent era to grace the Expanded Universe, the Legacy of the Force era. I will again issue my caveat that the books I'm discussing are very current and there will be talk of some things that people may consider spoilers. I encourage timid readers to tune out now. And thanks to those who continue to travel with me. Merriam-Webster defines the legacy as something transmitted by or received from an ancestor or predecessor or from the past. And that's just what we're seeing in these books from Del Rey and the comics from Dark Horse. The themes of family and ancestors are two very prominent elements in this era. The Skywalker line is a proud and diverse lineage, and its history seems entwined, rightly so, with that of the galaxy. The earliest known Skywalker is Shmi Skywalker. Sold into slavery as a young girl, she mysteriously conceived Anakin Skywalker, probably one of the greatest Jedi to ever lived. Anakin, of course, would later fall and become Darth Vader, Dark Lord of the Sith. Anakin and his wife Padme would bring the twins, Luke and Leia, into the galaxy. Their fates were linked with that of their father, and unfortunately it was only by his death that they would be able to live free. Luke and Leia both grew in the Force and started their own families. Leia married Han Solo, and they had twins of their own, Jaina and Jason. They would then have little Anakin, named for his grandfather, a short time later. Luke, meanwhile, stayed the bachelor for a bit longer and finally wed Mara Jade in a most exciting wedding chronicled in Dark Horse's Union. They would have their son during the most tumultuous time of the galaxy during the Yuuzhan Vong War. Young Ben, named after Luke's mentor and friend, was born 26 and a half years after the Battle of Yavin. As we begin the Legacy of the Force series, he is loosely apprenticed to Jason Solo and struggling, as any 13-year-old does, with his place in the galaxy. Stepping forward an unknown number of years, we can hypothesize that Ben meets up with a nice girl and has at least one offspring. This fourth-generation Skywalker will in turn sire Cole Skywalker, a Jedi who will become a master tactician. Unfortunately, Cole would die too early, 130 years after Yavin, but not before he too would sire a son, Cade Skywalker. Cade is the sixth generation in the Skywalker clan, born 116 years after the Battle of Yavin, and one that would sooner turn his back on his lineage and the Force. The remainder of this episode will focus on the elements of the Legacy of the Force era. As this is still a work in progress, relatively little has been revealed about it. Another unique element of this era is the fact that two parts of the era are both being developed simultaneously in different mediums. The early era, in the novels of Del Rey, and the later era, in the comics of Dark Horse. Both publishing efforts started mid-year of 2006 and are continuing to develop as we speak. Del Rey's Legacy of the Force series is made up of 9 books, released in chronological order very similar to the format of the New Jedi Order books. The first, fifth, and ninth books will be hardcovers, while the remainder are paperbacks. The series is as follows. Betrayal by Aaron Alston. Bloodlines by Karen Travis. Tempest by Troy Denning. Exile by Aaron Alston. Sacrifice by Karen Travis. Inferno by Troy Denning. Fury by Aaron Alston, Revelation by Karen Travis, and Book Number 9, currently untitled, by Troy Denning. These books, the first three being available at the moment, deal with family, duty, honor, and, as the title of Book Number 1 says, betrayal. There are a lot of events in turmoil in this series, and I would do it a disservice to try to tie it up now for you. Suffice to say that it's only a few books in, with Book Number 4 due on February 27th, so it's not too late to jump in on the train and see where we're headed. As most of you have probably read or heard, there's also a contest going on at the official site to provide the new Darth name for Jason Solo. Yes, he's going to the dark side, and I have to say it's the most interesting read I've had in the expanded universe in ages. Sure, the groundwork was laid for us during the New Jedi Order, but the series really puts his fall, if we can call it that yet, in an interesting light. As has been said by greater people than me, evil men don't see themselves as evil. They're just doing what they need to do. Morality and ethics are things applied to observers of a situation without the emotion of the event. This Jason is a mature and multifaceted character that a reader can believe is only taking small steps, doing the little things for the right reasons, but with one day he will realize his path has led him astray. It's a new morality fable for a new millennium. On the other end of the era is Legacy, a comic series from Dark Horse written by John Ostrander and Jan Dersima and taking place some 90-plus years after the Del Rey stories. The first arc, Broken, introduces us to Cade Skywalker and his companions, Delia Blue and Jiraiya Sin, pirates and mercenaries for hire. It is set in a time when the Empire has regained power, the Jedi have been nearly wiped out, and the Sith have returned, and without that nasty rule of two. As mentioned earlier, Cade has shunned his Jedi heritage after witnessing his father's slaughter on Ossus at the hands of the Sith. The ghost of his great-great-granddad, Luke Skywalker, even tries to counsel him, but at this point, Cade is too far gone to listen. But probably the most interesting mystery in this era is the identity of Darth Krayt, the head of the new Sith. An older humanoid, he wears a Vonden Crab armor and has a mysterious past that is unknown even to his closest Sith brethren. Fan speculation is running rampant on his identity, which is yet to be revealed, but guesses have gone from Ben Skywalker or Jason Solo to Plif the Hujib. Personally, my money's on Aesharad Het, a native of Tatooine, home of the Krayt Dragon. As with the Legacy of the Force books, Legacy, the comic, has just seen publication of issue number 8 and is still at an early enough stage new readers can hop on board without fear of having missed too much. The trade paperback and an exclusive Star Wars Shop hardcover of Broken is due in early April for people wishing to catch up with the first arc. Well, fellow listeners, this brings us to the end of the introduction to the expanded universe here on the Forcecast. Hopefully, after listening to these 7 segments, strangers of the EU will have a better understanding of it, and you constant readers will have re-experienced some of the more interesting stories we've shared. Fear not, though. I will not leave you hanging, wondering what's happening in the GFFA. Every month or so, I'll be bringing you a brief wrap-up of EU notable events and happenings. So until then, may the Force be with you, always.
The next stop on our tour through Star Wars Best of PC release, and consequently games that have been released prior on other video game platforms, is Republic Commando. This was originally released in March of 2005, and is a first-person shooter that has a unique aspect regarding the squad-based military-style combat. The story mode follows you as the leader, Delta 38, or boss, of Delta Squad, a group of highly trained clone commandos. The others in the group, Delta 40, Fixer, Delta 07, Sev, and Delta 62, Scorch, all combine to use their specific talents to move through the Star Wars universe and complete special missions and tasks presented to them by the Republic. Now, the gameplay, as I said, is first-person shooter style, and you can control any person or party in your squad. Nice thing about that is that if you do happen to die, you switch to another live member on the team, and a cool feature is that you can go over and revive the other members on your team. So as long as one member of your party is still standing, you're still in the game. What makes it even more unique is the fact that each person or trooper in your party has a specific specialty that they can use in order to help you on the battlefield. Fixer, obviously, is your guy that has all sorts of computer skills, so he can slash into computers and slice open doors and do things along those lines. There's a guy that's a sniper, and, you know, obviously, Scorch is the heavy weapon specialist, to put it mildly. But as you go through the campaign, there are specific points at which you can use these special talents. And it's very easy to use, and it's always pretty cool to use those talents. For instance, in one point of the campaign, you're in the hangar bay of a ship, and as you're going through, there are places where you can place your squad members so that they will snipe the people that are coming through, and the sniper gun is obviously a powerful gun. What makes that great is you can go and do your thing and know that you're going to be covered by your squad mate. And the AI on this is actually very smart. So not only will these guys shoot and shoot to kill as the campaign moves on and you're taking out battle droids, they will also not do anything stupid to jeopardize the mission. In prior games and other releases, that gets very frustrating as the people who are supposed to be your teammates wander off and do their own thing or just don't help you out at all. In this, the Delta Squad works pretty well as one unit together and really does a great job of not only infiltrating strongholds, but also defending them when necessary. The campaign is very fast-paced, but also very short. And that may be the one thing that left me wanting, is that there just wasn't... It didn't seem like there was enough of the game to really satisfy me. But it is very fast-paced, and it's action from wall to wall. There's not a lot of just walking or random things happening. It is fighting from one end of the mission to the other. I will say that this is a little more difficult of an offering than some of the other Star Wars titles that are out there. If you're not a big gamer, this probably isn't the one for you, although at the price that it's at, it's worth picking up and playing on easy just to kind of get through it and get the background information because it is a great story, there's a lot of great cinema scenes, and in all honesty, visually it's stunning and the sound effects are great. They did an absolutely fantastic job of not only making it sound like Star Wars but giving it a unique aspect as all the troopers kind of take on a unique personality which is different from the other clone troopers that are out there. So that brings a whole new meaning to the Delta Squad, which has kind of taken a place amongst the lore of the Star Wars universe and has become a pretty important part with, obviously, books that have come out based on the series, as well as their very own action figure sets. So, all in all, if you are a big game fan, this is one to definitely try because it's a completely unique take on first-person military-style commando gaming. And if you're not a big gamer, it may be one that you check out, especially if it's, again, if you're not picking up this best of PC release, it's all of the best of Star Wars in one package. So this is another one where you get a lot out of the campaign. There's a lot of background information. It's also the first appearance of the Star Wars assassin droids. So that's a lot of fun to see some of the new things that popped up in certain aspects and how you can play against them. So if you have a little time to put aside to gaming, definitely take a chance. Check this one out. It's worth it to see how the other side lives as far as first-person shooters. And hopefully there's more coming along the lines of the Republic Commandos. I know we had read an interview a couple months ago where they definitely are going to look into revisiting Republic Commandos, Knights of the Old Republic, and some of the other more popular titles. So hopefully, if we keep our fingers crossed, we can see Delta Squad running to another game platform near us. Next time, we'll pick up another title on the Best of PC release, Star Wars Galaxies. Now, I have some unique opinions on this, so you don't want to miss that in our next EU Microcast. That's going to do it for this edition of the EU Microcast. A big thanks goes out to Jay Shepard for all his hard work on the intro to the EU series. We look forward to whatever it is that Jay has in store for us next. Also, a big thanks to Jimmy Mack for all his help on the sound, and to all the TFM staffers that helped to make this show possible, and especially to my partner in crime, Jason, who I will be happily reunited with on Friday, as always, so we can discuss all the week's happenings in the Forcecast. Until then,
the Force will be with you. Always.
This podcast is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The official Star Wars site can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names and sounds of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and many other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of the Force.net LLC unless otherwise indicated.